The recording has started.
Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, it's a little background. I might have to meet people out, but
I don't know if it's this.
Okay, Bill, let me do this for you real quick.
I'm gonna mute myself out.
Okay. Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, David Murphy, with the National Black Unity News. And we have several people on board with this evening. Before we give the introduction, I just want to make a few announcements that the National Black Unity News is going to another level. We have been seeking sales ambassadors all across the nation. And we will be hosting our first orientation this Saturday from noon to 1 p.m. And if you know of people, especially in this time, when people going through this pandemic, a lot of people not sure about their tomorrows, about their employment situations. And so the National Black Unity News is hiring. We're hiring sales representatives. We're also seeking editors, those of you who have a product or some goods or services that can enhance our people's quality of life. We encourage you to participate with. We have a unique program for editors that you can not only put an article in our publication, but you can educate people about your product, goods, and services and how you best can help them and how you can enhance their quality of life and at the same time promote your business. And so it's a powerful way, part of the National Black Unity News, because what we do, this is what we call a collaboration. That's exactly what it is. We have a group of like-minded people who have come together for the sole purpose of uplifting us as a people. When I say uplifting us, that means that we are not putting down anyone or any group or race of people. We are very concerned about ourselves, and there's nothing wrong, because that's what survival is all about. Self-survival is to survive, us, we as a people. Other ethnic groups does it as well, and there's nothing wrong with that, as long as we don't put down or discriminate against anybody. But with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, is this. Again, this Saturday from 12 to noon, we will have an orientation. If you know of anybody who's self-starter, somebody who's hungry, somebody who wants to help our people and make money at the same time, then this is an excellent opportunity to come on to this orientation. And also, tomorrow night, the National Black Unity News also hosts a training program, which the host is online with us tonight, Ms. Fran Allen. She'll be with us. And then we also have Mr. Bill Gooden, who's online, who will be doing a presentation for editors and the importance of an editor and all the benefits of an editor. And so I encourage all of you business owners, those of you who have powerful programs and services, to tune in tomorrow at the same time, 7:30, and the same login information. So we encourage you to do that. Now, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce you to my partner, a longtime friend and a soldier, Mr. Satawi Jahi, who's been on the front line ever since I met him. And Brother Satawi, is on you, sir.
All right, thank you, David. And before we introduce our special guest tonight, as we do each and every week when we come on these airwaves, we do a reading from the book called Daily Motivations for African American Success. Mr. Dennis Kimbrough, who's also the author of Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice. Reading for the day. All you have to do is ask. Quote, life has more questions than answers, unquote. George Haisley, entrepreneur. Several years ago, George Haisley, a highly successful Amway distributor, taught me the value of setting clear, specific financial goals. Over lunch in an exquisite North Carolina restaurant, Haisley shared a story with me about an elderly millionaire and a young man who desired to be rich. Quote, do you want to be rich? Unquote, the millionaire asked. I most certainly do, the young man answered. Then write down the amount of money you want and how much time you will devote to acquiring it. The young man furrowed his brow. Do you think money will fall from trees just because I write a figure down on paper, he questioned. Yes, I do, said the millionaire. Every millionaire I've met told me he became rich only after he set an amount and a date by which to acquire his wealth. If you don't know where you're going, chances are you won't get there. Most unsuccessful people aren't aware that life gives exactly what you ask. So you must ask for exactly what you want. If your request is vague, what you will get will be just as muddled. If you ask for the minimum, you will receive the minimum. Do you doubt me? Just ask someone how much money he wants to earn next year. If this person is on the road to success and doesn't mind confiding in you, he will answer immediately. But 9 out of 10 are incapable of answering this question. Theirs, the millionaire said, is the common mistake. Your mind desires to know just what you expect from it. If you do not ask for anything specific, that's just what you will receive. Right here and now today, I know exactly what I want, and I will ask for it. That is our reading for today. And, you know, you can get a lot out of that reading. You got to know what you want, and you got to be specific about asking your mind for what it is that you want. Because your mind cannot work on someday, somehow, it will, the mind is a great tool, and you have all the faith you want, but faith without works, as it says in the Bible, is dead. You got to put that faith to some type of work. And the best work you can put it to is having an action plan. And so with that, you know, being said, you know, I want to introduce our special guest for tonight. Special guest for tonight is Reverend Nehemiah Smith Jr., who lives in Rocky Mount, North Carolina, and is the pastor of Mount Zion Baptist Church in Rocky Mount. And he's a longtime friend and a person who I used to do taxes for his newspaper he had called The Weekly Defender, and you know, which is a publication he looks to get back up to running this summer. He has a lot of different things going on, and we want to talk tonight about, you know, what's going on down there in terms of COVID-19 and what are they doing to try to shorten the curve and be able to move forward as we go through this pandemic, and any suggestions that he has for our national listening audience, you know, we'll greatly appreciate his comments and, you know, and where he wants to start and what he wants to share. I know he's doing a garden of a farmer's market garden piece in the back of his church, New Zion, Mount Zion Baptist Church, which has a huge lot out there, plenty space to grow vegetables and all of those different type things like that. So, I'm going to go ahead and turn this over to Mr. Nehemiah Smith, Jr. The call is yours, Pastor.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for inviting me. This is, I think, a great forum through which this Unity Network, we can get out information to brothers and sisters around the country to let them know what's going on in different communities. The COVID-19 pandemic has really wreaked havoc across our nation, and especially in neighborhoods and communities of color. It has been most devastating. And one of the things that we have done here at the church is that we have a couple of ladies here who have been making masks and who they're selling the masks, but at the same time, for every mask that they sell, they make two masks to give to the homeless and to people in our community that are unable to afford masks, because we want to make sure that as many people are protected as possible, especially after you get the information from the CDC and different agencies letting you know exactly how we are being disproportionately affected in the African-American community and in communities of color. And in our analysis or in looking at how COVID-19 has affected communities of color and the African American community, what I have come to realize is that there will be a new economy on the other side of this pandemic, and it is going to be something that is unfamiliar to some, but not unfamiliar to all. The African American community, I believe, has to realize that we will not be able to beg our way out of this situation. I believe that we're going to have to grow our way out of this situation. What I mean by that, we're going to have to start growing our own food again. We're going to have to, start with community gardens, backyard gardens, larger farms. We're really going to have to come back together and reinstitute what we lost when we moved out from these rural areas into our urban centers and lost our way, so to speak, as to how we can be self-sufficient. And so here at Mount Zion First Baptist Church was founded in 1871. It is the oldest black church in the city, and it is the oldest place of worship in the city, white or black. It is only 4 years younger than the city of Rocky Mount, which was established in 1867. So we have a unique situation in that when you look at history and you look at the year 1871, that was the year that the governor of North Carolina became the first governor in the United States to be impeached and removed from office. And why was that done? Because he was trying to pass legislation to protect black people from being killed through legislation by those Klan members that were in the legislature. Mm. And when you look at that, 1871, these people in the midst of that climate still decided to form a house of worship and were bold enough to do it. You're only eight years out of slavery. And so I'm trying to get the community to understand the history of the church, to understand the rich history of our people as a whole, wanting them to really look at different ways and different strategies that we can really build our communities. I've talked to them about co-oping, about going into the community, making sure that we're taking care of our seniors, make sure that we are having conversations with our youth, make sure that we are bridging the gap between youth and the elderly. We need a national movement to make sure that we are together as a people and not divided. And COVID-19, has brought us together in many ways. But then at the same note, we are also being divided in that a lot of these states are moving to reopen because they say they want to jumpstart or restart the economy. But when you look at it, what places are they opening? They're opening places that they know African-Americans are frequent. Mm-hmm. The beauty shop, the nail shop, these places that are recreational facilities. That's a trick of the devil. That's, it's the same old playbook that the oppressor has been using for years. He seeks to divide us by doing this kind of stuff. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. I was talking to a good friend of mine in Atlanta, and he called me, I guess, to bounce things off of me. He said, "Yeah, man, I'm gonna take my old lady. I'm gonna take my mama to the beauty shop and the nail shop. I promise him that as soon as we open back up, I'm about to do this thing." Then he said, "What do you think, brother? Because I know you always got something to say." I said, "Well, brother, I look at it like this. You'll take your mother and your wife to the beauty shop and to the nail shop. They get COVID. They have to go to the hospital. They are admitted to the hospital, but you can't go visit them. How much sense does that make?" Yep. And so I want people to see that they're not letting you in the hospital, but they'll let you in the beauty shop. Come on, brothers and sisters. Wake up. Don't be asleep. It seems to me as if, though, they are testing this thing out. Let's see how many of them die to let us know exactly how this virus is still out there. If it's still out there, let us find out. Let us use black people and people of color as guinea pigs. See, they're not giving you the COVID-19. They're allowing you to go out there and see if you can get it. And if you do get it and you die, then they'll know not to come out. So it's the same, like I said, it's the same old playbook. It was the same, just like the Tuskegee experiment. You know, they didn't give the people syphilis, but they allowed the syphilis to run rampant and kill the people. You know, over a period of time, it's the same old playbook, and we can't fall for the okey-doke. You know, I know I don't sound like a Baptist minister, but I refuse to fall for this okey-doke that these jokers are just trying to put this out here and really see my people destroyed. For a lack of knowledge, the people perish. And so we're trying as much as possible through the Eastern North Carolina Ministerial Alliance to get out the real information to our communities, to let our people know, do not fall for the okey-doke. If you don't have to go out, don't go out. We have a program where we work with our seniors. All they have to do is call the church. If they need something, we'll go get it for them, take it to their houses, put it on their porch, let them know we're outside, you all come get it. We make sure that all of our seniors have masks. So those are the type of things that we need to be doing in all the communities around the country, especially communities of color. We need to make sure that our people, especially those who are part of that vulnerable demographic, are looked after, and that we do those things appropriate to keep them safe. Our children, you know, our women, everybody. We just want to keep them safe. And so that's what we're doing here, Brother David.
Okay, let me ask you this question, sir. You know, I know you're a pastor. You're a man of God. I'm hearing the echo. But in any case, my question is this. You're a man of God, and there's a lot of folks out here who profess to be Christians or people of faith. And I've been hearing this thing, well, God got my back. God would take care of me, so I'm going to step out here on faith. I'm going to step out here, and, you know, just willy-nilly, so to speak, and take my chances, so to speak. What do you say to people who say, well, you know, well, God got me, and so therefore I'm going to go out here and just do my thing, so to speak?
You know, I think it comes down to understanding. I think it comes down to it really comes down to an ignorance of the word of God. First of all, you know, I heard that same crap too. I'm covered by the blood. And I told the lady, she told me, you know, she's an old lady, I'm covered by the blood. I said, you keep playing out here, you'll be covered by the dirt. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Are you kidding me? Stop that, man. They don't understand that when it said that these people were covered by the blood, that was a spiritual thing, that they were spiritually covered. But guess what? In that scripture, he tells them, hey, look, I need you to put the blood over your door so the death angel pass over. But what he also told them, take your tail inside, sit down, all right,
<you go. laughs>
eat the food that you got inside. Before you come back out, if you haven't eaten all the food, burn that to ash. He gave specific instructions about what to do. These people are foolish, and whoever is out there in these churches, like I call them Reverend Pork Chop Chicken Wing, who is up there in the pulpit telling these people that they are covered by the blood and that's all they got to worry about. Yeah, let me tell you something, man. Go somewhere and sit down and don't mislead people. Let me tell you something. The word tells us, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. So the thing is, I'm going to give you the information. We talk, well, that's science. Well, science ain't nothing but knowledge, man. You know, God letting these people have the knowledge so they can give it to us, and then we are supposed to employ something called common sense. Common sense tells me that if science is saying this is what can happen, I need to listen to that. Do I need to pray? Yes. Do I need to have faith? I need to have all of that. All right? I'm for that. I preach that every Sunday. But I'm telling my people, don't be a fool. Let me tell you something. The word says, forsake foolishness, that ye may live. See, if you do something foolish, you could easily lose your life. And so, to me, Brother David, I have to answer that. Look, man, don't listen to these foolish these foolish charlatans telling you from the pulpit that all you got to do is have the faith and you can walk through. Yeah, okay, man. In a situation where you don't know that's going on, hey, I believe you're covered. But to go out there and willfully put yourself in danger, that's foolish.
That's right. That's right. Well, I think what was that Satan told Jesus one time? He said, "Well, throw yourself off the thing."
You know? He said, "Throw yourself off." Crazy. That's not tempt the Lord thy God. Why would I do that? Why would I tempt God when God has given me and told me exactly what's going on?
Mm-hmm. And I appreciate you for being so bold and so honest, because that's what it takes, you know, because like I said, a lot of us are being led to the slaughter. And like you say, one common sense, you made a very good scenario on this one. Why in the world can you not go into a hospital of all places, but yet they tell you can go into this place, you can go into that place. So something's wrong with that picture right there. You know,
that's
a warning sign right there. You know, like you say, common sense. Common sense. And sometimes
common sense.
We have to prevail on that. But in any case, I want to open up the lines to some of our participants. And if anybody wants to jump in and ask the pastor some questions or just make a comment, this is the time to do so. But like I said, again, sir, I appreciate you for being on this. And let me just say this, too. I understand that you are a publisher.
I am.
You're community active. And you also said something very important that brought back to my memories is this. And I hope Bill will – yeah, there go Bill, because Bill has been saying the same thing what you're saying. He said we have to prepare ourselves. But at the same time, I remember my father. He came from North Carolina, a little place called Whiteville. And when I was a little boy, I could walk – yeah, I used to walk through the alleyways in Baltimore City, and I never was hungry because everybody had little vegetable gardens and fruit trees. We could eat off anything. Just walking through the alley, never was hungry, you know. But now these days, you can barely find anything, you know, these days. You know, the house I live in right now, my grandmother had a whole farm in her backyard, you know, so she used to do what they call canning. You know, she would, take the jars and prepare, and she had all kinds of stuff. We still got some. I just kept a few of them jars just for keepsakes. But, you know, the mason, you remember the mason jars and everything.
Yeah, and we are teaching, we have some ladies in our church who are teaching canning to those sisters and brothers that live in the housing authority. Showing them how they could be prepared for the winter and not have to constantly go back and forth to the store. You know, they're canning things like sweet potatoes, white potatoes, collards. They're canning, they're making chow chow, they're making their own preserves. They're doing all those different types of things, and I brought that system back so that these people could learn how to be self-sufficient. And not only that, if I have you canning tomatoes and I'm canning cucumbers and somebody else is canning collards, then we can trade with one another without having to spend that extra money. So we're also working with a farm to have our own chickens, to have our own turkeys, all this stuff free range and not, you know, fed steroids and all that kind of stuff. So those are the type of things that we're trying to do. And I'm trying to use Mount Zion as a model while at the same time taking it into the 21st century using technology and what have you. But
I'm going to tell you, man, you I think for me personally, you're right on point because like you said, it's preparation. And like you said, because like you said, we had to prepare ourselves because, like I said, nobody's going to come back to save us.
No.
If we don't start doing for ourselves, man, I mean, we're going to be in a world of hurt. And like you say, this pandemic, you know, like I said, they call it, a lot of people don't like to use that terminology, this new norm. But, you know, black folks been in the norm all of us since we've been here. You know, we understood, some of the old school folks understood how to survive. We understood the, you know, thing of sharing and caring.
That's right.
We was our brother's keepers, you know, and so now, you know, we kind of got away from that because of new technology and propaganda. And also understand that, like I was saying earlier, that you're in the media, which is extremely important. Because without information, that we can't reach our men, we can't teach them, you know, we can't inform them. And I appreciate you for, you know, publishing. And you say you're about to bring your publication back. And see, you're talking about demonstration. You just not talking conversation. All the things you just said, you're talking about gardens, you're talking about information, and you're also the most important thing, teaching the word, rightfully teaching the word, you know.
Right.
And so I appreciate you for that, sir. Anybody else want to chime in? Let Brother Bill come in.
Yeah, first, how you doing, sir?
I will.
Yeah, I appreciate the presentation, but I guess on three different levels in terms of the publication, Dave, at some point you and him maybe need to talk, because I hear you saying that you're thinking about bringing the publication back. We do a publication. There may be a possibility that we could do a joint thing together so you wouldn't have to reinvent your publication. So that's something you and David could talk about later after you get the publication that you can look at it. The next thing, I agree with you on everything in terms of we have to prepare. You know, we have to use our common sense. I always say our common sense is our best. It's our best defense is our common sense. Now, you know, my problem is this. It's like I keep saying, you know, with all these states opening up, then in my opinion, then that's Trump and the protesters putting pressure on these governors to pander to the protesters and what Trump is trying to do. Because I think a lot of these states is opening up, not because they're ready, but because of the position. And that's why I say it's so important for people to understand that position that man happened to hold, that he got this kind of leverage, that he could say the things he do and kind of make people take action that they're not prepared to take. So I think a whole lot of that opening up is really because of Trump and the protesting that's taking place around this here country. Because I'm going to close with this, like I keep saying, you know, for him, he may want to create some kind of racial divide and racial war, but he's going to end up creating a civil war in this here country in terms of the division that's taking place around this COVID-19. And that's why I say that we as black people have to prepare ourselves on all levels. I mean, food, water, shelter, ammunition, weapons, and we need to have places that we could go in case something strike down. We got churches or something that we could go to in mass numbers, because we don't really know how bad this thing is going to get.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I think that when you see, we're not used to a president like this. Not that any of them were any type of saviors, but...
Muted.
I agree with you. You have a man who is from the bully pulpit, is out there saying all types of things and stirring up these crazy white folk who are out here carrying their guns and all kinds of stuff to these rallies. But the one thing I will say about the governor of North Carolina is that, and he's from Rocket Mount, as a matter of fact, Governor. Our governor has said, Roy Cooper has said, that he don't care what they say. You know, he's here to protect the people. And so he just had a federal judge to say, well, you cannot stop people from going to church. The black ministers got together, and we in Eastern North Carolina, and we said, we don't care what the judge said. We ain't going back in there until we know for sure that our people are safe. So you have a more conscious black minister out there, and we're even able to rally and get those Reverend Pork Chop chicken wings. Them jokers is out there for the money. They're doing it because they don't want to be the eyeball out. So, you know, whatever we can do to make sure that you don't endanger people, that's fine. I don't care your reasoning for doing it. If you just want to look good, that's fine. But we don't need to endanger our people just because Trump is saying, we need to get back out there and we need to get it. And we need to understand that we have had a history of not doing that. What do I mean by that? During the Great Depression, white folk jumping out the windows, killing themselves, you know, oh my God, blowing themselves in the head. We were looking at that like, what's wrong with them? Why are they doing that? You know what I'm saying? That's the craziest thing we had ever seen. Because we were growing. We had our own farms. You know, I ain't saying we had a lot, but guess what? We had enough to help the community. You know, it took a village to make sure that we got through certain things, and we have to get back to that. That ain't something that some white boy in or some white woman in D.C. or somewhere came up with. It takes a village. That was ours, and long before we got to this land, we were doing it in the motherland. You know, so being able to come together and work through crises. Even stuff like this pandemic, we can do it. You know, we just have to realize who we are. and we have to realize our strength as a people. And I'm with you, brother. You're right. You got to get out because I got me some shotgun shells. I got all of that. I made that whole talk before. I got that before I got the you know, some food to put on the table. I went and got the shotgun shells. White boys looking at me when I went in the place and said, "Hey, who is this nigga in here getting all this ammunition?" Yeah, brother, I went and got it. I sure did. I ain't no fool, because if you step in 1620, you ain't going to leave out the same way you came in. Now, I know you're saying, brother, I can't believe this brother's a Baptist minister, but brother, believe it. Because, let me tell you something. God didn't call no fool to preach his word to his people. I'm not going to trick the people. I'm not going to fleece the people, but I am going to give the people the word as it is, because, you know, and let them know that they need to have some pride in who they are, what they are, and what they can do. So, you know, I fully embrace what you're saying. Bob Jaheen knows that I gotta tell you, I'll go off on these folk, man. I go off on black as well as white. If you ain't doing what's right by the people, I don't have nothing for you, you know. So you're right about that, and I agree with everything you said there.
Yes, it is written to say it's a time for this, it's a time for that, you know.
Yes.
And what is a man? That's right.
It's a time to kill and a time to heal.
That's right. and what is a man if he can't protect his own family? And this is nothing new. That's right.
And our family we have to realize that our family extends outside of the people in our house. Our family is anybody that has that kindred, that spirit, that shares this hue, that shares this skin, is my family. So if you sick, I'm sick. If they do something to you, they done something to me.
That's right. And not only that, throughout history, they had already proven they had done this before. You know, they had always coming into the black community and took what was ours. You know, when they like I always say, everybody on this line who knows me, they can say, when Americans take to get a pitch, black people get a punch. And so, so like I say, and we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. A lot of people are not going to have those jobs. Even though the people who had these certain type of jobs were sitting comfortably, when Cousin Joe was out of work, you best to believe that job ain't going to be safe. And, and so I'm just saying this is that, you know, preparation is survival. We have to. This is a must that, you know, we have to stock up on our food. And matter of fact, we have to learn how. And that's another thing that I heard you mention too, sir. But this is getting back to growing our own crops and farming and all of this land that, you know, that we can take these things and grow our own food. Because, like I say, in cities, major cities, even like Baltimore, we have so many, right here in a big city like this, we have so many food deserts that you know, people in certain communities have to travel so far just to get to a market. Or just to get fresh produce and stuff like this, you know, and it's a shame. But I also know it's by design as well. And like I say, they are preparing, they are strategizing. And people don't believe sometimes, but there's people that sit in high places, man, that don't mean you no good.
No.
And but some people have, you know, like I say, the sheep led to the slaughter. And but in any case, Fran Al, I see you moving around. Do you want to jump in on this one?
Wow. Reverend Smith, I applaud you.
Thank you.
You a brother first.
That's a nice got that right.
Clearly, you a brother first. Your heart is in the ministry, but you are a brother first.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
I agree with you that if we go out here too early, we have let them reduce us to a bunch of test dummies.
I believe
that if you go out here too soon, you will be hoodwinked, and that will be of your own doing because you went too soon. This is not about civil rights or restricting movement. This is about being smart enough to stay safe and healthy and to survive. You know,
that's right.
God will protect the fool if the fool has faith, but not in willful disobedience and obvious defiance. You know, you are called to be obedient to the word and the will of God. It is not God's will for you to go out in the street and get a disease from somebody that doesn't even know they're carrying it and take it home and infect your mother, your grandmother, your children, your wife, and the next door neighbor. And when people start dropping like flies, all you can say is, I was trying to get a hamburger.
Right.
I'm trying to get my nails done. My wife wants her hair done. Well, guess what? Now she don't need no hair. She don't,
right.
need, no, she don't need no nails done because she's not here anymore. Nails don't matter. I'm saying all of that to say that, you know, prayer and faith is for your strength. Prayer and faith is for your health. God gave us all free will, but he expects us not to use that free will to be stupid.
That's right.
Don't choose what you know has the ability or the potential or the possibility to harm you because you're trying to prove a point. Who cares about the point if you don't live past the a person's ability to process what just happened?
That's right.
It just doesn't make any sense. So I applaud you for your effort. I applaud you for your steadfast commitment to the community. I applaud you for going above and beyond and teaching people things that they can take into the next generation and the next generation and the next generation that will help us to continue to survive as a people, because teaching us how to feed ourselves when nobody else is going to come with a plate of food is paramount. It's critical. And Bill, I know that you know, you say that 45 is he's got all this power, but 45 only has power because we keep saying his name. See, I won't say his name because he don't have no power with me. He don't have no power with me. He has no power with me. My power comes from the one that sits high and looks low. That's where my power comes from. And I'm not worried about what 45 says. I'm not worried about what 45 does, because if you wait long enough, he's going to reverse his position. And just what he said yesterday is what he's going to tell you he did not say today. So I'm not thinking about that man. What I am thinking about, though, is this. When they open up the rodeos, listen to what I'm saying.
I hear you, sister.
When they open up the rodeos, I'll go get my nails done, my hair done. Until then,
have mercy.
I'm not getting my nails done, and if that's a problem for you, then that's your problem, because it's not a problem for
me.
And I know how to curl my own hair when I feel like being bothered with it, so that's what I'm going to do. And if I ain't cute enough with my hair not curled, then I ain't cute enough. You need to quit looking at me anyway.
That's right.
I'm not worried about any of that stuff. What I am worried about is surviving, and I'm not even worried about that because I pray over it every day. And then, you see, God opened my eyes up today. He opened them up yesterday, and it's my prayer that he will open them up tomorrow. But if it's my time and he's going to call me, it doesn't matter whether it's COVID-19, coronavirus, or five going crazy. When God is calling my name, I have no choice but to answer. And that won't have anything to do with anybody, but my purpose on this earth has been served, and it's time for me to go get my mansion and hook up with the rest of my family that went before me. The rest of this stuff is just another day in the life and times of black people in America. They've been after us forever, and you know what? They're going to still be after us. After this is come and gone and it doesn't work like all those other things didn't work, they're going to find something else, and then they're going to come after us with that. You have to hold on to the unchanging hand of God. You have to believe that he has something better than this for you, and you have to move with intention that you are going to make a difference as long as you are here. You are going to make a difference. Every day you have the opportunity, the possibility, the potential to make a difference. Even if it's just with one smile you put on somebody's face, even if it's with lifting somebody's spirit up because you said a kind word, whatever that is, it's still a difference. And you make that difference until you ain't here anymore. And then once you roll out, guess what? It's the next one's job. So teach your children how to be kind to people. So when you're not here to be kind to anyone, somebody is still being kind. You know?
Well,
Go ahead, Bill. I'm sorry. I know I'm running.
Let me just say one thing, but I don't really want to say too much because I know we got a guest. Listen, I don't never call. I just call that man by his name because I don't call him the P word. I just call him by his name. But the reality is this. It's true. You know, people don't have no more power over you than what you give them. But the reality is that we in a system, so the position that he happened to hold creates a lot of power, and he can make a lot of decisions that impact people when it comes to the hospitals, when it comes to health, when it comes to the stimulus package and everything. So, I mean, he is in a very important position, and we can't take that off the table because this man and his cronies is basically taking this country, even though the country's already down a path of destruction, but he's on the fast track of taking this country down a path that none of us have ever seen in our lifetime or experienced. So, you know, I'm not giving him power, but I'm going to relay to people that the man is in a position to have power and abusing the power and purposely creating hatred, division within his head country. I mean, I'm going to say this in closing. Even with this Aubrey guy that just got killed recently by the father and the son, now, you know, Trump did say, well, it was a shame. But, hey, at the same time, when you got protesters out there with weapons and everything, he said the governor should talk to the protesters. When you got in North Carolina a year or two ago and the white girl got killed when the Confederate people was carrying their Confederate flags and everything, Trump said, you got good people on both sides. I'm saying you have to listen to this here man, in terms of his code and his rhetoric in terms of how he's helping to boost this type of atmosphere up. So he's a dangerous man on a lot of levels. And even though these other presidents may not have been no damn good, ain't nobody been as bad as this here man at a time like this. And he's the worst person in the world that we need at this particular time in life.
So just speaking on that same note, let me say that to you, Pastor. Now, I know that you and Brother Sir Tyler, I can understand how y'all kind of met and how y'all kind of, you know, gelled together because I guess I could see some of the same principles that y'all have. And but speaking about power and on a godly basis and from a man perspective, here you are, you one man, Brother Satari, one man. And I've known Satari for many years, and he's done a lot of wonderful things over the years. But I just met you very briefly, and just listening to you, the things that you already doing with the food services, the word, and newspapers and things like this. See, that's power because you chose to. And like I said, we had that thing of God gave us free will to choose and to reason. And so you chose to do something. But can you imagine if enough brothers and sisters came together and chose to make a difference? And so what do you say on this thing? You know, because a lot of people think they're insignificant or think they don't, right, they can't make a difference. What do you say to those type of people?
I think that for too long in the African-American community, we have looked to one or two people to be the leader, not understanding that the leader you need is the person you see in the mirror. The person you see in the mirror is the leader of the people. We have to understand that not everybody has the same gifts, you know. But your gift is, no matter what it is not insignificant. The toes serve a purpose for the body. So do the nails and the skin and the hands. You know, everything has a purpose. But once the toe tries to be the finger, it's out of pocket. It's all the way out of pocket, man. You do what you do best. Use the gift that God has given you to help the whole. And then, too, what has happened is that we have become mimickers. And I want you to follow me on this. We have become a people that mimic without understanding
the full purpose or character of a movement. What do I mean by that? We had the Civil Rights Movement. The Civil Rights Movement was effective because it had a center. Follow me on this. Black Lives Matter comes along and it has no center. And so it's splintered. You know, it goes off and it can't hold anything. It can't even hold the attention of the people because it has no center. At the center of the Civil Rights Movement was the church. They always came back to that. They had a center. They had something they could come back to. All right? They had a base, all right, that they worked from. When you look at the Black Lives Matter movement, you find out the history of it, you'll find out that it was backed by the gay lobby. And I ain't say, hey, if that's your thing, fine. I ain't, you know, but I'm saying you were pushing an agenda using black people as a way to get out there. And that is, to me, charlatanism at its best. We have to make sure that whatever we are a part of does not take from the people, does not use the people as a shield to push another agenda. We got to make sure that whatever we're pushing is a pure agenda going to help the people. And so that's why I didn't follow that Black Lives Matter mess. After I found out what it was and who was backing it and who was funding it and it didn't have a center, I left it alone. I'm done with it. And so our young people, they want to get out here and do something, but they want to discount what the blueprint that our forefathers set before us. You're going to go out here and say Black Lives Matter, and then after you finish with your rally, you're going to go down to Kentucky Fried Chicken, you're going to go down to Burger King, you're going to go through Walmart, you're going to go through all these people dealing, some of the people that's helping to oppress you. We have a power that the people that came before us set the example of what you need to do. When they were going, they said, well, look, you can't ride the bus where you want to, though you're paying the same money. Those people said, well, guess what? I was walking before the bus, I'll walk again. Now, these people, as soon as they get into these little movements they got and they want to do, they vote out because guess what? They go back and support the very people that they are fighting against. And it's because they haven't studied their history. They don't know their people. They don't know what they want to do. You know, they got all of these grand ideas. They want to use technology but don't know how to use it. And then in the end, it is dispersed. When the last time you heard anything from Black Lives Matter? And so guess what? The life that I know that matters are these people that I serve every day, the lives that matter. I get out here and I fight for them. I get out here and I do what I have to do, and I'm going to continue to do that until I take my last breath. I pray that the last breath I take is out there fighting for my people, is out there doing something for somebody to bring them up out of the situation that they find themselves in. But a lot of that has to do with the fact that we have to educate our people and let our people know, don't fall for the okey-doke. You don't have to. You are a great people. You come from a great heritage, and you have to be better. You have to be better according to your standards, not to some Eurocentric standard or some standard that some white man over here said that you have to aspire to.
Let me say this to you. Now, I hear exactly what you're saying, but guess what? You know, some time ago, about 3 or 4 years ago, I think it was Asian people. They came to me. And they came to me very boldly and say, Mr. Murphy, I want you to start a black business director, which I have done. That's how I cut my teeth on a black business director. But they said, we have heard that you might be the man for this job for us, for them. And they said they wanted to start this black directory. And I asked them, I say, why do you want to start a black directory? And I said, why don't you start an Asian directory? And then he kind of told me this. He said, in this country, he said, black people, those who was in the movement back in the day, that everybody, even they benefited from it, from our getting bitten by dogs and protesting and you know, going into the count, sitting at counters where they said we couldn't go into things like that. Everybody, Asian women and everybody else, benefit from that movement. And they said right now today, and I never looked at it that way until they explained it to me, they said that we are the only people, we black people, that have more unity than any other group of people on this earth. Even that we said we're not together, this, that. But he said, he used his own people, for example. He said Asian people. He said we are more divided. He said Chinese people don't deal with Japanese people. Koreans don't deal with Vietnamese. He said even though we all call ourselves Asians and stuff, he said even the Hispanic community, you know, those from this part, from Mexico, they don't deal with each other. He said, black people are the only people on this earth that can come together and have proven the fact that we can do this when we unify ourselves. But unfortunately, I understand that the government that came in and caused it and a lot of our organizations. But I just want to bring this fact up to you, sir, that just like what you're doing on an individual basis, and like Bill and everybody, matter of fact, everybody on this call, it has earned their own, you know, I consider soldiers, because everybody's on here right now has a proven track record of doing for self, and not only for self, but doing for us force. And so that's power. So you have power, I have power, Fran, Bill, Vernon, and Brother Satavi, and everybody's on here. And so that's why I asked you that question earlier, you know, because if you could do this and you got the mindset saying, yes, this can be done, we can do these things. And if enough of us will come together like we did in the past, like you say, have some synod, because like I say, the church was the nucleus. That's where we met. That's where we had, you know, our foundation, you know. And but again, if we as a people, and like you say, it's all stuff with that man in the mirror. But sometimes, like that old African adage, it says this, you know, it takes the village. And so we, those of us who now consider ourselves as elders, you know, we're going to have to learn one thing. We're going to have to reach back out, and we're going to have to learn how to teach. You know, not only, you know, like
yeah,
I said, from experience. Go ahead, sir.
I ascribe to that in that I have a young guy that he shadows everything that I do. I need him to see what I do, why I do it, how I do it, while at the same time, I know that he has ideas too that he wants to implement, but I need to pass on the knowledge that I have. I'm 50 years old, okay? I have fewer days ahead of me than I have behind me. And I look at it as you have to pass it on. You have to pass on the knowledge that you have. You have to pass on the drive that you have, but you have to be able to identify somebody that has that same umption to want to help the people. You got to realize that, unfortunately, that there are just some amongst us who are sharing the color. And it's because they're deaf, dumb, and blind. They don't know no better. They've been brainwashed, like the sister said earlier. They've been hoodwinked. You know, they've been led astray, and so. But you still have to have those people. You know, I look at what and now in this day, especially recently, to give what I'm talking about. I was with this young guy. We went out to Walmart. I had to go pick up some spices and stuff that I wanted to go. I walked in. He was walking in with me, and when we got ready to check out, I looked over at the money center. And it was wall-to-wall, treetop tall black folk crushed in there together, everybody trying, I guess, to cash these little stimulus checks. And so I said, do you see anything that's wrong in here? He looked around, and he said, oh, man, look at the money center. Look at all the brothers and sisters all up on top of each other. I said, correct. I said, so what do we do? He said, we need to go and we need to tell the brothers. I said, no, let me tell you what we do. We go and we call for the manager. Manager came out. It was a brother. Say, hey, brother, I said, I said, when I stop making sense, you stop me and I walk out of your store. I said, out in the parking lot, you got an announcement that says we close at a certain time so that we can make it safe for you. I said, when you come in, You got to walk around a barrier. You come up to the door. You got to stay 6 feet apart. You got people counting people as they come in the store so you won't get too many people in the store. When you get in, you got stuff on the floor that says stay 6 feet apart. Just practice social distancing. When you come up to check out, there's a barrier there between a plastic barrier between you and the cashier. Cashier's wearing gloves and a mask. I said, then at the money center, you got brothers on top of each other about to fall all over each other. I said, what kind of sense does all of that make, brother? All the other stuff that you've done, what kind of sense does that make if you're going to allow the brothers and sisters to come in here and be up on top of each other in the money center? So the guy was watching me. After that, the guy said, you're right, sir. What he did was now he implemented where there's so many people can be there at one time. He has a person right there stationed at the entryway to say, no, you can't go in. And once you do go in, you have to stay 6 feet apart from each other. You need to have on a mask, da 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 da. So the brother said later, he said, well, why did you? I said, brother, we couldn't walk out of there and allow that to happen really to anybody, but especially to our people. You have to speak to it as you see it. It's more than speaking truth to power. It's about speaking with power the truth. And so that is what pushes me, brother. That's what, you know, you're right. We got to train somebody. We got to teach somebody. If you can find one or two to pass that knowledge on to, you know, when Brother Satoru was here, he was always, you know, passing on knowledge. I look at it as my elder, you know what I'm saying? I believe that my ancestors, I believe that they look over me. I believe that they protect me day by day, you know. But we have to find that one who, it might not be in your family. It might be somebody in your neighborhood. It might be somebody you just don't know yet. But you got to find that one to pass on the knowledge to, because if you don't, when you die, the knowledge dies with you. And that's what the reason why you can't, you know, all those home remedies and stuff people have, because, oh, we can go to the doctor now. That's why you stop growing, because, oh, we can go and get it out of the grocery store. That's why you stop cooking, because now, oh, I can go get it at the fast food joint. You know, I had a guy tell me, his father told him, we will never accept a government assistance, because the minute you accept government assistance, you'll stop working. And he ain't never lied. We stop working how we were working. We looking. You got women having babies, and it's sad, but it just is, so that they can get the government check. And that, guess what? That knowledge too is being passed on. So whatever we got to do, we have to break those cycles. We have to tell our brothers, look, man, you know, be a father to your son and your daughter. You know, set that example. That's the only way we're going to win this fight. That's the only way we're going to win this fight.
All right. Okay, Mr. Murphy, you were trying to say something?
You talking to me, David?
Yes, sir.
Hey, man, yeah, how y'all doing, man? First of all, Brother Nehemiah, Brother Smith, I do appreciate all of what you said. I have been just sitting here just getting goosebumps with some of the stuff, man. It's really, really, really on point. One of the things I do want to piggyback on is the fact about knowledge and the idea of what knowledge can do. It's the idea that knowledge is just what it is, power, pure, unadulterated power. And so, but one of the things that, you know, when you have power, you know, you got to have something to put to apply it to. And one of the craziest things that's happened to our country is back in 1970, the average person come out of high school and have a certified skill, plumbing, bricklaying, horticulture, you name it, all kinds of stuff that came out of just the public schools. That was systematically taken away, because with that kind of knowledge, most of us, even if we didn't utilize it in some big company, we used it with our families on our own. And so here we are now with all this disconnect between our hands and our brains, and even so much as to put your fingers in the dirt. Some kids won't even and they don't know how good it feels. You hear what I'm saying? They don't even have a clue what it's like to put something in the ground and watch it grow. And so what you're doing is tremendous, and I applaud you for what you're doing. And what I'm going to tell you, brother, just don't stop. Thank you. Back to you, Dave.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Yeah, in closing, we're about to run out of time, but this is one thing I always want to ask, you know, a pastor, is this. You know, I'm going to take this thing to a biblical standpoint. In the beginning, when God created man, and I think they say he put him in the garden, and he told him to cultivate it. And do these things to the garden. He say multiply, do all of these things. And from your understanding, I personally took this garden scenario as a man's gift. Like you said, God give every man a measure of gifts, and if you cultivate those gifts. And you multiply those gifts, and then those gifts will make a way for you. And, you know, I don't care if it's in music, if it's in brickland, or if it's in just design of your mind, just do this and do that. What do you say on that type of subject, sir?
I look at it like this, and I know, like I said, I probably said some things that people look at, and they say, wow, this guy really a Baptist minister. He's a Baptist minister. And I will say this. COVID-19, this pandemic, has served a lot of purposes. One of the things that I believe in the whole sphere of everything that's going on is from a biblical standpoint and from an earthly standpoint, the earth needed a rest from us. It needed a rest from men. And if you notice, I don't know if you've noticed or not, but have you seen the pictures that they've shown of Los Angeles before the pandemic and Los Angeles now, where they couldn't see the skyline, but now they can see the skyline? And in China, where they couldn't see the skyline, they couldn't even see anything, but now the sky is clear. Have you walked outside and really taken in a deep breath? I'm talking right outside your house. I mean, this is one of the best springs that I have seen. We were going from straight cold to straight hot. We've had cool. It's been a great spring. You know, we've had our rains and all this stuff. We've had the earth needed a break from us, and I believe that God gave it a break. You can't go out nowhere. Them cars wasn't out there. The airplanes wasn't flying across the sky polluting, and so it got a break. It needed a break. And yes, the earth is a gift. And we were taking it for granted. We've taken it for granted with all the chemicals and stuff that we dump out into our waterways and that we dump into our ground. You know, and that's not us dumping that stuff. Earth needed a rest, and the earth got a rest from it. I'm so glad it did. And guess what? Things are not going to go back to how they were. No matter how these people are trying to rush out here and get back out here, things are not going to go back to how they were. We're going to have to do some things different. And this is the prime time for us now to say, hey, we got to talk about conservation, and we have to talk about doing right by the earth. You know, people like George Washington Carver, the white boy was out there tearing the land up until he came along and told him, look, you got to shift these crops up every other year. You know, it was us. We people of color have always looked after the earth. We weren't polluters. And so now, you know, we have to take that back to we have to take authority in that again, and we have to say, okay, we're going to grow, we're going to take care of what God has given us. We're going to take care of this earth that God has given us. We're going to make sure that people are fed. We're going to make sure. I like what the brother said here. I just wrote it down because I got to use it in a sermon somewhere somehow. Where the brother said, the disconnect between our hands and our brains. You know, that there's a disconnect between the hands and the brains. And so, you know, we have to continue to work to make it better. We need to right now be talking about plans of how, when we come out of this, what we're going to be doing as far as growing and what have you, how we're going to set up systems where we can barter and we can trade and we can do those types of things with what we grow by our hands. We need to reconnect, as the brother says, we need to reconnect that link between our hands and our brains, Because as I said in the beginning, you will not be able to beg your way out of this, food stamp your way out of this, government assistance your way out of this. You're going to have to grow your way out of this. And that is going to benefit the whole. That is going to benefit the people. That's going to benefit our people. And it will get us out of this symbiotic relationship that we have with money and with a lot of things in this capitalist system. It's going to take us back to where we need to be as far as being self-sufficient, and that's what we need to do. That's what God would have us to do.
Amen. Okay, well, you know, because we're running out of time.
Amen, self-sufficiency.
Yeah, so what I'm going to suggest is this. In closing, I'm going to let you go, Pastor, you know, if you have any parting words for us, you know.
To the listening audience, to everybody that gathered here tonight, is just keep your head up, keep your ears open, keep your heart focused on the people and the people around you. Understand what it means to be your brother and your sister's keeper, and understand that the person that's in the mirror is the person that you need to be looking to be the leader. You have what it takes to get it done. So let's all of us get out there, work together, and do it. You know, God requires it of us. It says, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, and comfort those who are in distress. So let's get out there. Let's get it done. God loves you. I love you. And guess what? It ain't nothing you can do about it.
All right. Brothers and Tom, any parting words?
Yes, sir.
I guess he's going to do something.
Can you hear me, David?
But in any case, anybody else with any closing words, because we're running out of time, and anybody before we shut down?
David, can you hear me?
Hello?
Yes. Yes, Brian.
Yeah, I enjoyed the conversation. It was very informative, and I would like to hear from him again, because the things that he was saying was real refreshing. It was, tell it was some spiritual stuff, and that's the kind of stuff that we need to hear, because it gives inspiration to us. Gives inspiration to us as a people, and inspiration to us as individuals. You know, that it's somewhere in the country, you know, other than where we are, that they're doing some other things. You know, I never thought about doing like the farming, but that's very essential. That's things that we need to get back to. So I just want to thank you, sir, for coming on and being a part of this podcast.
Yes, sir. I'm glad to be here, and hopefully I can come back tomorrow. I heard you got something tomorrow night. I want to be a part of that. Listen in on that. But also, once all this is over, I'm inviting everybody down to see what we're doing here in North Carolina and be a part of it and join. And perhaps we can make sure that we can replicate those things where you are, because I tell people all the time, you can recite as many Bible verses as you want to, but it's not about recitation. It's about application. How is it that we apply what we read to our everyday lives?
All right. Fran Allen, any closing words?
Oh, my goodness. Well, Reverend Smith, I too found your remarks inspiring and thought-provoking. Thank you for that. I'm always looking for a way to expand my brain, and, you know, being a part of the National Black Unity News is one of the ways I do that.
Yes.
I'm gonna close with this. You know, service is the cornerstone of success. If you focus on the number of people you serve, your success will follow that. It has no choice but for success to follow service. So I challenge everybody just to do what they can do. Don't worry about what they're doing next door, upstairs, downstairs, down the street, around the corner, up the block. Don't worry about that.
That's right.
Because you can control any of that anyway. Just do what you can do. This is Fran Allen, motivational speaker, author, and change agent, and I am changing the world one person at a time.
Amen.
David, can you hear me?
I don't know. I think Bill may have closed up. Bill, are you still with us? I think Bill is gone. And,
David, can you hear me?
Brother Satavi, can you hear me?
I hear you. Can you hear me?
I think he's still on mute or something. But in any case, in closing, Mr. Murphy, do you want to have any closing words?
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Do anyway. No, seriously, Brother Smith, thank you again for being a part of this powerhouse of individuals. I'm telling you, you have jumped into a... I only reason I'm laughing because you kind of know what I'm talking about, you know. And there's a lot of heavy hitters in here, brother. So at the same time, again, thank you, and thank you for your presentation, and thank you for what you, mostly for what you're doing. And that's what I wanted
yes,
to say.
Thank you. Thank you. God be the glory.
Yes.
Well, I come from the hood in closing. And it's an old saying we used to say in the hood, game recognize game.
Oh, yeah.
So what I'm saying, a soldier recognize a soldier.
Another soldier.
A man
yes,
of God, that's yeah. right. And I see you, I feel you, and I understand what you're saying, sir. And
yes,
I
sir.
Commend you. So it's so good to know that not only here in this area, all around the world, all over the country, that we got soldiers all over the place. You know, God, see, you can see God's evidence right through you, through everybody on this call. And so, but one thing we do need, though, we need to unite one another because, you know, we are our brother's keepers. And so, brother, like I said, the door is open. You're welcome to come back. And like you say, Fran will be hosting this call tomorrow night. You're welcome to come on. But I think you and I need to have a deep conversation, sir. Like I said,
yes,
we have a lot in common. And I know that we can be a blessing to each other, but mostly we can be a blessing to our people. And,
yes, sir.
And as the old saying is, when two or three are gathered.
Let me give you my number. This is for everybody. I don't mind giving my number out. Call me anytime. 252-366-4941. That's 252-366-4941. You can call me anytime.
Right.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate that, man.
David,
yes.
Can you hear
me? Thank you, sir. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to bid you a good night. And we'll be back here next Monday, same time, same place. And we'll again, to reminder, we will have a training podcast for the National Black Unity News tomorrow night, 7:30. And we look forward to seeing you then. Yes, sir. We hope we can be on there, sir. And we're going to bid you good night. Take care.
Yes, sir. Good
this
night.
Session is no longer being recorded.
Take care. Thanks, Pastor. Like I said, it was a pleasure, sir. Really is.
Yes,
thank
sir,
you.
It was. Most definitely. Mm-hmm.
All right, y'all take care now.
Thanks, sir. Good night.
All right, take care.
Goodbye.